And we thank Julian for using his talents to lead us in that worship. If you want to be taking God's word and turn to Psalm chapter 127, and we'll look at verse 3 in just a few moments. Cherry and I thank the elders for this opportunity to come and to share some time with you. And we've been excited ever since we got the invitation. And the title for all these lessons is What Every Family Needs. We talked this morning in Bible class about a marvelous mother. And today I want to talk to you about praying parents. Let's look now at Psalm chapter 127, verse 3, reading from the New King James Version. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, these little ones that you have here this morning, they are an inheritance that God has given to you. They're a reward from the very Creator we just praised in worship. Once there was a father who took his six-year-old son fishing. They put out their lines, they went up to the cabin, and they went back down to the river about an hour later. They started pulling in the lines, and sure enough, there were fish there. And the little six-year-old boy said, "You know, Dad, I knew we'd have fish on the line." His dad said, "Well, son, how did you know?" And the little boy said, "Because I prayed about it." And the dad smiled. So they baited the hooks, went back up to the cabin, and then after supper, they came back down again. And sure enough, they started pulling in the lines. There was more fish. Dad looked up, the boy looked up at his dad and said, "Dad, I knew there would be more fish." He said, "Son, again, how did you know?" "Because," he said, "I prayed we would catch some fish." So they bait the hooks, they throw them back out again, they go back up to the cabin. Well, just before dark, just before bedtime, they come back one more time to check those lines. This time, no fish. And the little boy said to his dad, "Dad, I knew there wouldn't be any fish this time." And he said, "Son, how did you know?" He said, "Dad, because I didn't pray." He said, "Well, so why didn't you pray?" He said, "Because I remember we forgot to bait the hooks." Hey, well, if you're a parent, there's got to be prayer, but there's also got to be proper preparation. Now, in this lesson, we're going to look at a list of characteristics that every parent ought to have, and then we're going to ask God to take that list, put it in our hearts, and then pass it on to our children. Now, the first thing that praying parents need to request and to remember is that kids need compassion. That's number one. Kids need compassion. Now, compassion just simply means with feeling. And when you're a parent, you do parenting with feeling. It means you do it with understanding. You can see your child's life through his own eyes. And compassion is where, hey, I know everything about my child, and yet I love him, I love her anyway. You know, real, muscular compassion. It's not something you're going to have naturally. It's something you've got to request from God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Hey, Mom and Dad, do you ever have difficulty loving your children? You may have trouble loving that little one when you go out to your brand new car and you find underneath that seat a sandwich that your son has left and it has taken a life of its own. It's difficult sometimes to love your children when they misbehave, when they busted out the window, when your child has left their most expensive jacket at school again, when they've lost those very expensive eyeglasses again. Your compassion will be taxed to the limit. Well, what do I ask God to give me compassion? Well, there are three things that you're going to need to have compassion for your child. You need affection, you need affirmation, but then you need to give them attention. Children learn compassion from moms and dads. And dad, mom, you need to overload your children with hugs and kisses. They need to know that you love them regardless. I was talking to a lady of the congregation where Cherry and I serve. And this lady was having a lot of trouble with her child's behavior. She said, "Derek, I tried something." She said, "I turned on the affection like you turn on a faucet in your kitchen." And she said, "Derek, it made all the difference in my child's behavior." Listen, your children, they need that robust affection from mom and dad. Children crave affection, but they also need affirmation. They need to hear you say, I love you, son. I'm proud of you, daughter. You know, you need to just simply remove any doubt from your child's mind that your compassion is fickle. You know, whenever you give that affection, that affirmation to your child, you know what it's going to do for your son and your daughter? It's going to give them confidence. Hey, I still need the support of my family as a preacher, and I am 55 years old. I still need it. How much more important is it when your little boy, 11 years old, gets on that school bus in a tough world? He needs to know that you're going to affirm him no matter what. So he needs affection. He needs affirmation. But then your child also needs attention. Parents, one of the most difficult things you're going to ever have to do in your life is to listen to your children. There was one lady who explained this very well about parenting and patience and listening when you don't really want to do it. Listen to this. She said, perhaps the hardest lesson in life for a parent to learn is patience. To wait unperturbed while the child in the high chair does everything with his food except eat it. Quietly to hear interminable tales and complaints, long-winded tales that don't interest you. These are some of parenting's greatest challenges. To give earnest attention to a son or daughter as he or she describes in minute detail the movie or an episode at school. Not to interrupt. Not to cut off. Not to explode. To curb the forces within us that would say, hurry, hurry, hurry. To hush those frenzied voices that say, I don't want to hear this right now, son. And to still the frantic and usually futile impulses that would result only in your child's hurt feelings and unnecessary distress. Parents, withdraw the emotions. Practice detachment. Kindly interest. Self-control. With a conscious effort comes a strange calm, a sense of being not the prey of outer forces, but in command of some subtle yet significant inner forces of one's own. Mom and Dad, when you sit down with your child and you begin to listen when you don't really want to do it, you know what you're saying to your child? You're saying, son, daughter, you matter to me, and what you tell me is important. You see, when you listen to your child, they know you listen. They're going to be far more to talk to you when they turn 18. Listen today, they talk later. Listen today, they talk later. You're saying, I love you, son. You matter to me. This is the essence of parental compassion. And you can pray, Lord, please help me be compassionate toward my children. Help me to give them that attention, that affirmation that they so desperately need. And I dare you, parents, to pray this way. Lord, forgive me of my sins the way I forgive my children's sins. You see, that's the essence of the compassion your children need. Here's the second thing your children need. Kids need counsel. Kids need counsel. You know, children need to be given directions. Just like Dad, you need the directions when you're putting that swing set together. Where do successful children in our world today get good counsel? Now, most of us say, okay, let's think about this. Where do they get their counsel? Oh, they get it from their peers. Or you may say, no, our children, they're getting the information from our pagan media. No. In fact, children today are most influenced by their parents. The United States government did a study on our children several years ago on why some children use drugs and why some do not use drugs. And it was shocking, even to these people who did the study, that those kids who were not doing drugs were getting good counsel from mom and dad. And so many of these kids that are out here doing drugs, they're drinking. It's because they were not blessed with parents who cared enough to give them that godly counsel. Now the Bible says this to parents in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. You shall teach them God's commands diligently to your children, and you shall talk with them when you sit in your house or when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise You see, the Word of God says, parents, you are diligently to teach God's commands to your children. It's not the church's job. It's not the elder's job. It's mom and dad's job to put those commandments into the hearts of these children. Oh, mom and dad, please, just turn off that television and tune into your kids. Now, I'm going to give you some heartbreaking statistics, but this is absolutely true. The average dad in America spends 37 seconds every day with his children. 37 seconds. And one study said that most small children would rather spend time watching cartoons than time with their own dad because he paid them so little attention. And that's heartbreaking to me. Now, my friends, parenting is not a part-time job. Your children are not just some hobby that you pick up and set aside. They're not pets. No. When your children came into this world, God says, this child is a blank slate. And what gets written on the heart of your children, that's mom's dad. That is dad's job. This whole world is doing its best to take your children away from the Lord. And if you don't help those little ones walk that straight and narrow, you're sending them out to face the lion, who is Satan, seeking to destroy their souls around the clock. Kids, they need counsel from their parents that comes from God's word. They need compassion. They need counsel. But here's a third thing your child needs. They need correction. Now, the outline of this lesson, it assumes, hey, all of our children are going to make mistakes. And when they do, they're going to need that compassion. They're going to need that counsel that brings them back to God. And the way you're going to do it, mom and dad, is through correction. You know, God corrects me. God corrects every adult here. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. You know why God punishes you when you go astray? Because he loves you so. He wants to bring you back to himself. The Lord, he expects your parents to punish your children because you love them as well. Some of y'all may remember this news story from several years ago. There was a player in the NFL that took a switch to punish and discipline his son. Well, this got into the news media. And the grand jury of this particular area wanted to indict this guy for this reason. They said that his discipline exceeded what the community considered to be reasonable. Now, I'm not here to defend or agree with that community. But what I am saying is this. Today, so many parents, rather than being excessive in their punishment of children, they're doing nothing at all. Godly parenting demands correcting your children. You know what God says about the parent who doesn't correct that child? In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it says, he who spares his rod hates his son. Oh, mom and dad, please, don't wait 16 years until he gets to be about 200 pounds to try to discipline him. You do it then, you're neither one going to enjoy that. Listen, if you don't care enough to correct your child, you're really setting your child up for a lifetime of failure. You may have police officers here at Mount Carmel now. And you go and you ask that police officer about children. He'll tell you, we have so many parents today who have just simply basically turned their children loose to run wild. They have no discipline. The jail cells of America are filled with children who were never given this counsel from God's word. Again, Proverbs 13, verse 23, all the verse says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves his son disciplines him promptly. Now, a parent who loves a child is going to do it quickly. Other versions say you do it at the proper time. Do it carefully. Now, parents, this is not to be a flogging. This is not to be something that brings bodily harm to the child. No, it's enough correction to cause that child to realize, hey, I don't want to repeat that experience. You know, every child has a spanking spot. Let's do a little test. Is your child's spanking spot right here? The question is your child's spanking spot where I have my hand? No. Is your child's spanking spot down here around his ankles? No. It's somewhere in between. It's not here. It's not the ankles. It's somewhere in between. God gave every child a spanking spot that will not do bodily harm, will not do permanent damage, But it'll teach that child, I don't want to repeat this misbehavior. And mom and dad, when you're doing discipline, make sure that child knows this is not just because you're trying to get even. It's not tin for tat. It's not like schoolboys on the schoolyard trading licks. No, a father disciplines his son. And a mother, she punishes her daughter because you're saying, I care about your behavior. Your character matters to me. And what you're doing is you're building a framework of character for that child that you want to continue for the rest of his or her life. Now, the message you're sending your child when you're disciplining them is this. You matter to me. Your correction is the most important thing to me in this world at this particular moment. And your character is of the utmost importance. Now, don't give up on disciplining that child, even when you think it's not doing any good. Even when it doesn't seem like he's taken to the training. The Bible gives you this promise in Galatians 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So pray, God, I want to be a parent that corrects my child without crushing him. Oh, dear God, let me discipline her without destroying her. Father, help me to correct my child without crushing them and doing it with the greatest of care. You know, and when your son is 30 years old, he's going to be standing around some campfire with a bunch of buddies, and he's going to begin bragging on his dad. And it's going to sound a lot like what you read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, that says, furthermore, you know, we had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Somewhere down the line, you're going to be standing around that campfire with some of your buddies, and they're going to begin bragging about how their dads laid the lash on them. And maybe it'll be you, and you'll say, yeah, my dad laid the lash on me, and I earned every one of them. I respect my dad so much for caring about my character and being a godly dad. Now, the next thing I want to see about parenting and praying, pray that God teaches you to give your kids confidence. Kids need confidence. In California, 7 years ago, they did an experiment, and they found that all third graders in that state, 85% of them had a high self-esteem. That's third grade, 85% had a high self-esteem. By the time they got to junior high, it dropped to 65%. By the time they got to high school, it dropped to a mere 5%. 5% of the high schoolers in California had a high self-esteem. So the older your child gets, the lower his self-esteem is going to be. You know why? This world gets its jollies out of tearing your children down. And mom and dad, I want to give you a word of warning. Pay attention to your child's social media. So much of it is teens tearing down other teens. It's teens destroying the self-esteem of other teens. Mom and dad, if you don't monitor that, you may be sentencing your own child to some very low self-esteem. Now, what do our kids need to be confident citizens, confident Christians? Well, the Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. That is, dads, you don't be that final nudge that pushes your child over the edge. You be a father who encourages, a father who builds up that son. Years ago, I was doing some research on this very particular topic about children and correction. And I found a statistic that I'm never going to forget. When you're a parent, for every severe criticism you give to your child, it takes 46 compliments to help them get over that one severe criticism. That's how important, that's the great effect that a parent has on his or her child. Now, you men, suppose this morning you got up, you're getting ready to come to Mount Carmel, and you say to your wife, oh, dear, that dress, it's beautiful. Your makeup is perfect this morning. Oh, honey, that perfume is absolutely intoxicating. And then you say, you know, it's just a shame with all that going for you that you're bird dog ugly. Guys, what's she going to remember on the car ride home? What has she been thinking about all through worship this morning? That one mistaken statement. You see, words have great power. Hey, An elephant's got a great memory, but it's nothing compared to your wife's. She'll never forget that comment for the rest of her days. Same is true with your children. Go light on the criticism, heavy on the compliments. Be extravagant. The way you build them up, criticize them with great care. Correct your child, but don't crush them. Your child needs someone, Billy, to say, "Billy, I know you can do it. Daughter, I am so proud of what you're doing in school." Let them know that no matter what else the rest of this world is doing, they've got a godly mom and dad that's going to build them up. And parents, pray this way. Dear Lord, help my child to be confident without being arrogant. Lord, help me to build my child up without tearing them down. Lord, help me to be my child's greatest cheerleader. And the fifth and final thing that we parents need is to pray, "Oh Lord, help me to give my kids consistency." Kids need consistency. And our children are in a world of sea of uncertainty. We're living in a world that's trying to drag our children down. And our parents, we as parents, we must give our children consistency. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says this about Jesus. Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He is the same forever. That means Jesus Christ is always going to be consistent in what he has promised to deliver us. Now, Mom and Dad, what parental consistency means is this. You be faithful to your children, but also be fair. Your children are not going to demand perfection. But what they will demand of you is this. Mom and Dad, I just need you to be consistent with me. Now, parents who are not consistent, you know what it does to the children? It makes them insecure. It makes them feel uncertain in all the areas of their life. And it'll also make your children bitter. You find someone who's bitter, and you just might find someone whose parents were not consistent with them on a daily basis. There were two little girls once. They were playing, and one was showing her friend that she had 5 pennies. But she actually said, "I've got 10 pennies. But her friend looked at her and said, "No, you just got 5 pennies. She said, "No, my dad promised me tonight when he gets home he's going to give me 5 more pennies, so I actually have got 10 pennies. You see, that little girl knew her dad was consistent, and she had all the confidence in the world in her dad. She was confident in life. She wasn't walking around on eggshells and jello because mom and dad had been consistent with her in the past. Mom and dad, let me ask you a question. Are you being consistent with your children? Not perfect, just consistent. They need a Christian mother. They need a Christian father who's going to be just like Jesus, who's the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. Jesus is your model. He is our master. Parents, if I ask your children in quiet today, I would say, "Junior, is your dad consistent? Susie, is mom consistent?" What would they say? And friend, if you're not consistent with your children, it's very likely that your children will never learn that confidence to have the kind of character that God wants them to have. Friend, are you building your house on the rock that is Jesus Christ that does not change? And do they look at you as a parent as that rock of Gibraltar that's not going to shift underneath them? Now, Jesus taught us in Matthew 7, verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." I'm so glad I'm looking out at families this morning that you have built your house on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. You are trying to be good and godly parents. You believe these words of Psalm 127, verse 3, that says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Storms are going to come. Storms are going to go. But a house that is built on the rock of Jesus Christ is going to stand. The great desire of God's heart It's for you to pray and ask him for these things. God, give me compassion. Give me that counsel. Help me to correct my children. Father, help me to give my children confidence, but Father, give me that ability to be consistent with my offspring. One night at dinner, little Tommy was misbehaving, and his dad was a firm but fair man. He said, "Now, Tommy, you got to behave, or you're going to leave this table." Tommy paid no attention, kept right on misbehaving. And Dad said, "Tommy, I warned you. You misbehave. You're leaving this table. You go upstairs to your room, and there'll be no more food for you tonight." Little Tommy left the table. He went upstairs and got in bed and began thinking. He began thinking about his misbehavior. And after a while, he said, I never felt more alone or alienated in my life than I did at that moment. And all of a sudden, I began hearing footsteps coming up the stairs. Then I saw the door handle move. And then the door opened. It was my father. He came in the room and closed the door. He got in bed with me and said, "I love you, son. I don't approve of your behavior, but I've come to spend the night with you to let you know you're not alone." That's what our children need. We need all of our fathers, all of our mothers to be praying parents. Let's go to God in prayer as we conclude this message. Father, we thank you for every parent who's here this morning, who's doing everything that they can to be the kind of moms and dads that you have called them to be. And Lord, we thank you that we can be forgiven when we're not the parents that we've been called to be. And we're thankful for what Jesus has done for us on the cross to cleanse us of every stain and every spot, every sin. And Lord, we pray for the parent who's here today that has never put on Christ in baptism, has never become the father or the mother that they know they should be. We thank you for this moment that they can come and put on Christ in baptism so they can be the mom, the dad that you want them to be. But Lord, I pray that you'd help every parent to realize that they cannot lead a child to a place where they are not. Father, they can't help their children to be faithful unless they themselves are faithful. Lord, we pray for every parent who's not been consistent. They're not correcting their children, not showing them compassion. Father, I pray that these parents might come to realize that this parenting is too important for us not to do the very best job that we can. Father, we pray that you would touch every heart that needs to come to you, whether they're a Christian or whether they're not a Christian. Father, we pray that you would encourage every parent here who just simply discouraged, who needs prayer, but the congregation doesn't know. Lord, I pray that you give them the courage to come to you. Father, we ask these things through the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, Julia is going to lead us in an invitation song. You may not be a parent, and this message has maybe not touched you. But friend, I want you to be touched by the fact that God loves you. He wants you to be close to him. He wants to bless your life too, but he can only do that when you're right with him. This morning, if you would come and say, "Yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He did die for me on the cross. I'm going to turn from sin. I'm going to confess him as the Lord of my life, and I'm going to put him on in baptism." Today, whatever your need is to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, you come right now while we're standing and encouraging you to come to him.